Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.
That King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each one had six wings, with two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. We gather together this morning to worship the Lord, to see him, to sense his presence. And as Isaiah felt, we may feel, Woe is me. For we recognize our impurity and our sin. But something much, much more powerful than coals from the fire has touched not only our lips, but our entire being. For we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And we stand together in the presence of the Lord to worship and praise him and to have the eyes of our heart opened that we may see, enjoy, and bless him. This is our prayer today as we worship the Lord together.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arm. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning and poor. Saint for the saint and for the sinner. Enough for the soul but the great grace, there's such grace. Oh,
Father, forever we will be thankful for your grace. Thank you so much. You may be seated. I was just thinking as I was standing there worshiping this morning, if I weren't the pastor of this church, I'd still come here just for the music. I'd come just for the music. I appreciate our worship team so much. We have a rather full day today with a guest and our shakeout Sunday and all those things that kind of add to the special nature of our service today. We welcome Cassie Barker, and I'm going to ask Cassie to come just in a moment. She'll be bringing us an update on the House of Grace, Hope, and Mercy. Since Cassie is director of the Christian Life Center and also very involved in the House of Grace, Hope, and Mercy, we get to have her with us twice and representing each of those organizations. She called me earlier this week and said somebody where she was supposed to go had to change that, and could she come here? And of course, you're always welcome here. And it would take a big event to keep us from having you anytime. Even if you don't speak, you can come, you know. Okay, just wanted you to know you're welcome. Do we have a microphone for her? Cassie, we're going to have you come right now and present what you have brought about the House of Grace, Hope, and Mercy, updates for some of us and maybe a first introduction for others.
Good morning. I feel sorry for you that you have to see me twice a year. Here's some information on the House of Grace, Hope, and Mercy if you'd like to take these. As anything, there's always growing pains in on what we do, that kind of thing, and with a new mission. So we are doing transitional housing / rapid rehousing, trying to get grants, that kind of thing. And then, of course, we have numerous opportunities and the overview of our program for volunteers. So you're more than welcome to take those if you'd like as well. I thank you so much for letting me come speak to you about the House of Grace, Hope, and Mercy. For those who don't know, the House of Grace, Hope, and Mercy is a separate, non-for-profit organization from the Christian Life Center. They are two different faith-based organizations. How this all started was God put in my heart in 2016 that we needed family transitional housing, since we have so many families that are homeless in Mercer County. In 2017 alone, the ones that we know about, we had 101 families homeless, 139 individuals homeless, 21 children homeless, and 5 women who were pregnant that were homeless. If you have ever had to separate a family because one shelter only accepts men and another shelter only accepts women and children, trust me, it's devastating. Also, when families are separated, it is very difficult to work with a family unit as a whole. The simplified version of our mission for the House of Grace, Hope, and Mercy is we are a faith-based mission. We want to be a safe haven for families to come to for shelter, comfort, and stability without judgment or condemnation. As it states in Deuteronomy 15:7-8, but if there are any poor people in your towns, when you arrive in the land the Lord your God has given you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Instead, be generous and lend them whatever they need. That said, I would like to tell you about a family in Mercer County who gave me permission to tell their story. The family consisted of a mother on disability, a father who did odd jobs, and a son who tried to work but had issues that hindered him from working or getting disability. The husband had a health issue that debilitated him, so they only had the mother's disability of a little over $700 a month. Have you ever tried to live on an income of $700 or less? I personally have. And by the time you pay your rent and maybe the utilities, there is nothing left. Unfortunately, the family was not able to make it on that income, supporting three people and two dogs. They were evicted and lived in their car for over 3 months. If we had the House of Grace, Hope, and Mercy, we could have addressed all the family's needs as a family unit, from budgeting to job skills to family counseling and introducing them to God. This family did finally get into housing. However, they are still struggling because their behaviors have not changed and they have not been taught another way of life or their God-given talents to better their lives. They are in survival mode. Day-to-day living. They haven't had the chance to even dream of a better life for themselves. Honestly, it breaks my heart to see any of God's children homeless when we live in the richest country. As I have stated before, we have a 16-bed facility located at 436 Chestnut Street. We have been extremely blessed with donations from churches, the community, and individuals, which is helping us to pay our lease-to-own agreement and utilities. We are so grateful and we thank all of you who have donated. Yet our doors are still not open because we need the startup money to hire people around the clock. We are in a catch-22 where we cannot open without grants, but we cannot get the grants without being open. We also need an extensive number of volunteers to help on all aspects of running the House of Grace, Hope, and Mercy smoothly and with a Christian-based atmosphere. As it says in Deuteronomy 15:10, give freely without begrudging it, and the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. So I'm asking for all of you to help in whatever capacity you are able. Please open your hearts and let God's talents shine through you. I have materials that give information on the House of Grace, Hope, and Mercy and numerous opportunities. I hope that you will find it in your heart to call on or come speak with me about the House of Grace, Hope, and Mercy. My hope and prayer is that our community will come together to end family homelessness in our community. I hope you will keep us in your prayers and open your hearts to join us in this faith-based mission. I pray that this time next year or sooner, our doors will be open to the families that desperately need our services and resources and the love of God in our community to take a step forward in becoming successful, if not for themselves, then for their children. And just another little update. I know our goal was to open last January. Unfortunately, our heat pump went out on the first floor. So we're fundraising to try to get that replaced. And then we also found out that the gutters has leaked into the house, and so now the ceiling of the living room is falling in. So we're working on those issues too. I look at it as bumps in the road, and when God wants it to happen, it'll happen. So God bless you.
I trust that some of us will take those materials and take to heart the need and become more aware of what does go on in our community that some of us find hard to believe because we live in our own circle so often. I know Cassie would welcome anyone's questions and finding out more and more. I'm going to ask that right now we just, while we're all gathered together, that we pray that in God's time and God's way, the financial needs will be met. And if this ministry is in His will, which we certainly believe it is based on the things we read in the Word and God's heart, that it will come to pass quickly. So I'm going to just ask us to bow and take just a moment to reflect on the words that she shared with us. Our prayer before the service this morning was that our ears and hearts would be open. And certainly this is one of the things to which we need to not close our hearts and our minds and our thoughts. So in a spirit of unity, that this is a need and that we can agree to support it in prayer and financially as the Lord leads us, in that spirit of agreement, if someone would just feel led to lead a prayer specifically for this ministry. Amen. Amen. If you would just take a quick look at the announcements. In just a moment, we are going to bring out the old tub and have the shakeout Sunday. We said we'd take coins and folding money, and Rod reminded me this morning, some folks call it quiet money, so that includes checks. They can all be made to the church. We will write one check to the Galilean home. And the worthwhile ministry to which we refer in this announcement, of course, as most of you know, is the Galilean home. Also, to remind all of our elders and deacons, there will be a meeting this evening in the great room at 6 p.m. It's our monthly meeting, so please put that on your time frame. It's nice to see so many folks got their clocks set forward, and so maybe by 6 o'clock this afternoon we'll be adjusted just a little bit better. Holy Week services, the 26th through the 30th. As you know, we'll be responsible for leading worship on Tuesday the 27th, and also for some sandwiches and dessert servings. Wanda Bergen has put a sign-up list back there. She's coordinating that. Wanda is recuperating from her surgery, but she has prepared that list. And if you're willing to provide some sandwiches or desserts, please sign up so we'll know ahead of time. Next Saturday, work day to spruce up the church for Easter Sunday. We'll begin at 9 a.m. There's a list of jobs that Ann Bird has listed back there. And if you can do some of those beforehand or come and work an hour or two or longer on Saturday, we'd love to see you. There will be no Wednesday night adult Bible study the next 2 weeks. Some vacation time for Colleen and myself. But please note that youth will be meeting, correct, Robbie, as the regular time. So with those announcements, I know some of the kids have their change and jars and other bits of money, and we could always use some help. So let's see. Brian, can you help us get this tub? And George, we'll get it, because sometimes we need help getting the money all shaken out. And Mike, how about a little shaking music? Well, yeah, I thought about that. It'd be a good banjo kind of day, but maybe we can get a little piano guitar duet. Now, yeah. When the saints go marching, are there any children here who would like to have a jar to carry to shake out? You got your own? You got your folding money, okay. All right. Who else? We got some kids already coming. Who needs a jar? Oh goodness, we got more jars than we got kids, looks like. There's Alexis. Hey Ben, come on. Money, don't be shy. You can come on and do it. That's really good, and it looks like there was a pretty good offering. We'll get all that change sorted out and counted and let you know how the offering went for the Galilean home. I'm happy to report that two folks who had surgery this week are doing okay. Dave Hack is actually here. I talked to Dave just an hour or two after his surgery, and he said he was doing really good. And then Hope asked him later about talking to Terry, and he said, "Terry who?" And so he was feeling good, but he's back down in real world now, and it's good to see him. He said he's doing good without the aid of medicine. And Wanda's doing okay, just a little sore, Bill?
Really sore.
But they both had surgeries. They're doing well. Cleo is here, and we were praying for him. And he got a good report, right? We're just so happy. That's great. So it's always nice to have good news, isn't it? It's nice to have good news. So we're thankful. We're thankful for the prayers that have been answered. So before we dismiss the children and do our Bible study questions and birthdays, let's just have a couple of prayers of thanksgiving, and if there's something you want to pray for that we need to lift up for a special need, do that. But let's give thanks to the Lord this morning. So just, if it's in your heart, give him a thanks for good things, all good things. Yes.
conform to all look the same or to act the same and be the same, but you've made us each unique. Thank you for the differences in the body, and Lord, more than anything, thank you for the unity in this body.
Father, I thank you that you've brought me through these difficult times the last few weeks, and that my greatest fears were just not worth the effort that I had bearing them because you were there, and you just delivered me from all of those fears. And Father, I thank you for bringing me through the surgery that I've been through and all the help that different people have given to me. I'm just thankful, Lord, that you're there in our darkest moments and that you shine the light and you lift us up and bring us back into your grace and mercy. And Lord, bring our minds around to where we can even recognize that. I thank you and praise you, Lord, for just being part of my life.
Yes, yes. Father, we do rejoice and give thanks in all the ways that you've met our needs. And you have proven yourself faithful. And we ask you to meet the needs of your people. And cause us, Father, to look to you in faith and trust. And again, most of all, we thank you for your great love and grace to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Wednesday night, we finished up our study in 1 John, so this will be the last bit of Bible study questions for a while, and we're going to begin a new study at the 1st of April, probably, and so if you're thinking about a study, pass that on to me. Maybe we would consider that. From 1 John 5, what belief identifies one who is born of God? That Jesus is the Christ. Question number 2, what is the victory that overcomes the world?
Faith.
Our faith, that great hymn reminds us, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. What is greater than the witness of men? The witness of God. It was interesting to read and understand that the reason John said if our hearts condemn us and if we accept the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. And the commentator pointed out that when we look at how perfect Jesus is and all that we're called upon to do, we often feel so inadequate that our heart begins to condemn us. But God is greater than our heart, and he reminds us of his grace and his understanding of us, and that we are indeed his children. Question number 4. These things were written in order for believers to know what? That they have eternal life. To know that they have it. Question number 5. When we ask anything according to his will, we are assured of what? That he hears us. God hears us. And finally, question number 6. I think everybody would know this. Under whose influence does the whole world lie? The enemy, the wicked one, Satan himself. So we finished just about. We have just a little bit of wrap-up to do on the 28th of this month, and then we'll be in April moving to a new study. Birthdays. Josh Cromer, today the 11th. 14th, Vera Weddington. And I think we had an anniversary coming up. Wednesday the 14th, Rock and Mona Moore. I heard 31 years. Yeah. Some of you aren't even that old. And some of you haven't been here that long. But it was right here that the first wedding in this building took place. And Rod and I did that wedding together. And Rod was still in Louisville pastoring at the time, I believe. So, and I'm not even sure the altar was completely finished at that time. We had just moved it. Pardon? At a gravel parking lot, so it was very early on. So you kind of hold a historic place here. So it's never a compliment to be thought of as holding a historic place, because that usually means you've been around a while, right?
We have.
We all have. Amen. All right. Well, if that covers everything that we need to bring everybody up to date on, we'll dismiss the children at this time to Children's Church with their workers. So as they go, I'll ask worship team to come back and lead us in worship before the message of the day. I'm going to put these on this. Thank you.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Thank you, Lord.
For moments of quietness and peace, for it reminds us that in your presence there is peace and there's rest. So help us to bring our anxieties and our frustrations and our temptations and our failures to your throne of grace and pause and wait and experience your peace, a peace that passes all understanding, a peace that's miraculous, a peace that comes simply because you are the God of peace. Thank you for those gentle reminders. Help us to take advantage, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.